I'm beginning to see things from heaven's perspective, from God's perspective, from a superior reality I'm starting to live, you see. And so now the inferior things are like, I don't need that anymore. I don't want that anymore. I found something so much better. And the new wine, it says, was withheld because you were filling yourself up on the wine of this world. And so if we can get this and understand this, that what God serves is much better. It's eternal. It's life-giving. And tonight, I want to talk some more about the river of God. And the scripture from this morning is Revelation 21 and verse 1. Revelation 21 and verse 1. And I'm going to try to quickly jump forward to where I'm hoping we can begin from tonight. But I want to fill in a few blanks here. Now, what is the river of God? What does the river of God represent? Somebody? It's His presence. Amen. So we want to be people of His presence. We don't want to be religious people that play church. Amen. And think that they're holier than thou. But we want to be authentic believers in Jesus Christ, whose lives are being transformed, amen, and minds are being renewed by the Spirit of grace that's at work in our hearts. And we understand that even though we are different now in our thinking, we still understand we're not better than anybody else. We're just different now. I'm different. I have a new normal. So, 22 and verse 1, and He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Here's John on the Isle of Patmos having this amazing vision of things to come, of the apocalypse as well, and the things that are going to happen on the earth. But God showed him, you know, a glimpse of the throne and this beautiful crystal river flowing out of the throne of God. And again, we're going to talk a little bit more about that tonight, but that represents the presence of God. Now, I want to read you something from just to interject this tonight, because it has to do with what we're seeing going on right now and things that are going to intensify, but not to be worried, not to be afraid, because God, amen, is with us and God is for us. You have to trust, that's all, and call on the Lord. Jesus said, this is what's going to happen in the days to come, in the last days. Nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and there will be famines and plagues in many lands. And there will be terrifying things and great miraculous signs from heavens. But before all this occurs, there will be a time of great persecution. You will be dragged into synagogues and prisons. You will stand trial before kings and governors because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell them about me. So don't worry in advance about how to answer the charges against you, for I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to reply or refute you. And then in verse 25 he says, and there will be strange signs in the sun, moon, and stars. This is exactly what's happening. And here on earth, the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides. In Bermuda, the water disappeared on them. They're saying, where did it go? It went into a hole. They're not sure. People will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. So when all these things begin to happen, stand and look up, for your redemption draws nigh, or your salvation is come. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. What we need to understand is that Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. God's heart is for you. God's desire for you is that you will be saved, that you will have a relationship with Him, that you will know Him, know His voice. God's desire is that He wants you to know Him so He can speak to you. And you can have conversation with God through the Holy Spirit so that God can reveal to you the superior eternal plan of God for your life, which is far greater than any plans that we could come up with. People in this world come up with all kinds of plans, and some people are very ambitious and they're able to achieve many things and maybe accumulate a lot of wealth. But then once they get to that place, they discover that they're still as empty as ever because the things that they were hoping would fulfill them left them empty and still yearning and longing. Why is it that people that have a lot of money, you seem to want even more money? You're thinking you've got millions of dollars, even billions of dollars, and you're still not satisfied. Why? Because they're trying to fill up something that only God can fill in them. Because they're empty, they're trying to fill themselves with things that will leave them empty, with only a sense of a temporary satisfaction. And that's the world. It gives you a temporary sense of satisfaction, but then it leaves you empty. And that's the reality of this world, apart from the Creator. And that's why Jesus came. The Creator became a man in the form of a man. Jesus Christ came to reveal to us who God really is, what God is like, and what God thinks of us, and how much God loves us. And God demonstrated that love for us on the cross when Jesus willingly took our place. He became our substitute. It was a substitutionary death on that cross for Him to take my place, to bear my sins on His body on that tree. That was the love of God. Why? Because we were in such a situation that we could not save ourselves. So God took the initiative. And through His Son, the Word became flesh, and He became that sacrifice, took our place to bring us back into relationship with God, even as Adam walked with God in the cool of the day, in a relationship. So Jesus Christ, the last Adam, came to redeem us back to the Father. That's the awesome message of the gospel. And that God is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That means we've got to change direction. We've got to change our mind. We've got to realize that this life that I'm living right now is not working. And the only thing that does work is to understand the will or the purpose for which I have been created in the first place. Discovering your purpose is very important. Would you agree? Amen. Otherwise, we spend ourselves in this. It's like a gerbil in one of those wheels that we just kind of go around in circles and do the thing. And then one day we check out, and hopefully by the time we check out, we have a house, a boat. Amen. Maybe a nice car. But guess what? There's no U-Hauls going to heaven. Amen. There's no U-Hauls after this life. It's going to all be gone someday. Everything we see, as Peter said, the heavens themselves will be dissolved. The second heavens, not the heaven where God dwells. But all things one day are going to be gone. They're going to be burned up. And we can see some things right now aligning, don't we, in the nations. But we're not to be afraid of these things. What we need to do is we need to run to God, who is our refuge, who is our source of salvation and healing and protection. God is the one who can save. Amen. God is the one who can protect. God is the one who can satisfy that emptiness inside, because we were designed, created for God. That is our purpose. We were made for God, for a relationship with God. And Jesus, amen, the Son of God, makes that possible. We come by way of the Lord. Repentance means I change my mind. And the river of God is flowing right now. And it's flowing in here tonight. It is the presence of God. And the stirring that you feel going on in the inside is the Spirit of God working in your heart. And in some cases, it's like it's a strange thing. It's because sometimes we're not used to that, you know. But when God begins to deal with the issues of our heart, He knows how to break through the facade. He knows how to break through the blanket that we put, the artificial blanket that we've tried to put over ourselves and hide from God. How many know God knows how to get through to our hearts? We have some testimonies in here, don't we? How God has known how to get through to our hearts. And because God loves you and God wants you to be with Him and God wants to save you, God knows that it's impossible for us to save ourselves. And some people think, well, I've just been a pretty good person and you know I've done a lot of good things and I believe in being kind to everybody. Well, that's good and you should be kind to everybody. But that doesn't save you. The only thing that saves is the blood of Jesus Christ. The only thing that saves is the mercy of God poured out on Calvary on your behalf, is that we would repent. That means change my mind about the way I'm going and turn my life over to God and say, Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm broken, busted, disgusted. I'm a sinner. I'm empty inside. I've tried to fill my life with these things, but I'm never satisfied. Lord, I want you and I want what you have for me. I want to exchange the inferior that I might have the superior. I'm tired of living just a temporary existence with no hope. I want the hope of God in me. And that's what He does. If you will turn and call out His name and turn to Him, He'll save. He'll heal. Because everything here that we have need of is in the river of God. It's in the presence of God. Everything you need in the natural, everything you need in the spiritual is in the presence of God. Your very life, you're held together by the very word of His power. God spoke, let there be light. First there was a sound, the vibration of His voice, and then there was the manifestation of light. So you and I are held together by an unseen force. At the smallest microscope, you know, they're looking at these, the quarks, I think they find them now. But they're like spiritual things. They disappear and they appear. Now they're finding these things called quarks, and it's a spiritual phenomenon. Imagine that. That we're actually held together by vibrations. That the sun, the moon, the stars, the planet, everything, you know, grass, flowers, everything has its own vibration. Everything has its own, you know, colors. They put off a different vibration. The rocks themselves have a vibration. They're discovering these things. Of course, the Word of God has said it all along. But now science is starting to realize that maybe the Bible is true. You know. And so you and I are held together by God. So everything that we have need of in the natural also comes from the Lord. And He's the source of all life. Everything we have need of in the spiritual comes from the Lord. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, let's take a look at, I got up this morning, thank God. I was able to get out of bed. Some mornings are harder than others, but I get out of bed. And thank God I was able to stand to my feet. I was able to go in and wash up and, you know, wash the ugliness off, whatever. Trying to. I haven't got that done yet, but I'm working on it. So anyways, you know, we were able to think. We were able to function. We were able to do things in the natural. You know, people say, well, I went out and I did this and I got the job and I earned money and I paid for my house and I've taken care of myself and I don't need God for anything. Well, who gave you the ability to think? Who gave you the ability to get out of bed? Who provided a job for you? How many know God is good to all? He's good to people that aren't good to Him. I was never good to God. He still did good things for me in my life because He was trying to get my attention. Why does God bless us? Because God is good and God wants us to see something. He wants us to look beyond the blessing to the giver of the blessing. That we see the heart of the one who created us with purpose and discover a relationship with Him that's possible. To know God is to know eternal life. That's what, if you don't know God, you don't have eternal life. You will not go to heaven. You must know the Lord. You must be born of His Spirit. The Spirit of Christ must be in you. So I was able to go to work. I was able to think. I was able to get an education. Why? Because God gave me the ability to do that. Let me ask you this. What is it that you have right now? I don't care if it's possessions or even in your physical body, the way you look. How many here had a decision in how you're going to look? You know, nowadays we're trying to change that, right? I don't like the way I look. I'll just kind of nip and tuck and change this thing out and change this part out. No. We had no say in what we're going to look like. Amen? What is it that we have that we didn't receive? Zero. Everything that we have is something that we have received from somebody. Amen? That gave Amen? Your parents raised you up, fed you, nourished you, took care of you, protected you, you know? We have all been recipients of grace. We've received through our lives. I can't take credit for my intellect. Some of you say, well, should we tell them? You know, I can't take credit for any talents or any abilities I have. Why? Because I didn't give myself these things. They came from the Lord. They came from the source. Amen? And we're not talking about some impersonal, let the force be with you. We're talking about a very personal God who's personally involved, who personally loves you, who wants to have a personal relationship with you. Amen? And all these things that we receive in life are gifts. All good things, that is, come down from the Father of lights, the Bible says. And so it's this God, our Creator, who wants to reconcile, bring us back into relationship through His Son Jesus, through the blood. We can be forgiven and we can be restored to fellowship and receive the Holy Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Hallelujah. How many got the Holy Spirit here tonight? You got the Holy Spirit in you? You got to have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not yet a child of God, but I believe you can tonight. You can walk out of here a brand new creation. You can be born again. You can have the same Christ that's in me in you. Amen. I can't do what I do except by the grace that God supplies. I give God the credit. I give God the praise. Amen. For any success that I have in life. Why? Because the ability came from Him. Mm-hmm. See, the people in the world, they want to boast about what they have and what they do. I used to do that. I remember when I was in the Army, we used to have this competition with stereo systems. You know, I don't know if you guys ever did any of that, but we were close. Especially when I was in Korea and we were close to Japan, we were like a half hour flight or whatever, just jump. And you can get like electronics like really cheap. Yeah, Pioneer. And some, do they still make Pioneer? I don't know. But we all had our systems. We had our big, you know, big woofers and we were like competition, man. I got a better system than you do, you know. So somebody else would say, they go out and they get a bigger amp. They get a nicer, you know, double cassette. Yeah, back in the day, double cassette. Yeah, wow, that was awesome, man. Oh, yeah, well, I got an EQ. Check out my EQ over here, you know. But what were we doing? We were keeping up with the Joneses in a sense. We were like just competing about stuff, you know, because the stuff kind of was a status symbol. It made me feel like I'm somebody because I have stuff. Come on, somebody. Somebody drives by your house. Oh, you got stuff. Look at that stuff driving and sitting in the driveway right there. You know, it's all from the same materials. It's just, you know, everything we see around us came from dirt and the elements. Just God gave wisdom for man to create. He made us creative, didn't He? But the stuff doesn't satisfy, it doesn't fill you. You know, it still leaves you empty. It's back to relationship with the living God, being born of His Spirit, being reconciled back to God to our original purpose, which is sons and daughters. When Satan came in and seduced and we obeyed, Adam and Eve had obeyed Satan, he stripped them of their authority over the earth realm and became the little g of this world. And that's why everything is in such a mess. Because there's a real devil who had usurped man's authority and used it against him to get back at God, because Satan can't touch God. He knows it. So he'll try to get you and I to do what he wants to do so he can get back at God, because it grieves God's heart, because he loves us. Amen? So everything that we have need of is found in Christ. He's the source of all life, of all that there is. And so if we don't have a reconnection and a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we're actually living a dysfunctional existence. I know this makes some people mad, but that's the part of you that has to die. But folks, it's a reality. Apart from a relationship with your Creator, life really is vain. It's just a struggle to survive, to get through, to maybe have a few creature comforts, and maybe feel good over a few things. Fill your life with entertainment, but then the entertainment just kind of gets stale after a while too. Everything in this world loses its luster because it's inferior compared to the superior reality of the kingdom of God, the invisible kingdom of God, and the life that He extends to us, the invitation He gives us to come to Him and live. So the source of all life is Jesus. The river of God, it says, it is flowing out of the throne of our, amen, of the Father. And wherever this river goes, according to Ezekiel, in his vision, when he saw this river, amen, he says, wherever the river flowed, it was teeming with life, and wherever it touched, whatever it touched came to life, was healed. The life of God brings healing. How many here have been touched by the river of God? Amen? And you've received healing. I've received all kinds of healings in my mind, in my body. And God is still working on me, you know. But it's being in the river that makes the difference. Not just going and doing a church thing. Amen. You can go to church all your life and completely miss Jesus. There are people who are doing that. They're practicing religion. But He didn't call us to practice religion. He called us to a relationship. And when you know the Lord and you have a relationship with Him, you're like, man, there's nothing like a walk with Jesus. This world, everything pales in comparison to what the Lord is offering freely. Freely, mind you, to us. God doesn't charge. His grace is free. Jesus, having paid the price for our redemption, He went up in heaven itself in the presence of the Father, as our representing us now as our great high priest according to the Scriptures. And that means that when we can pray not to a man, not to some priest, amen, in a parish. Well, we pray directly now to the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ, the great high priest. And so there are things, folks, in our lives that, you know, they can only come from God. Things that you need, you know, and that is salvation and healing and deliverance. When I talk about deliverance, what I'm talking about the devil, how he oppresses, how he destroys, how he ruins people's lives, how he destroys relationships, how he enslaves people to substance abuse, how he creates anger and hatred and jealousy and all these ugly things that people get involved with, and fighting over property lines and just the craziness that goes on, because there's a real devil who hates God and wants to touch God by getting a hold of His creation. And so there's salvation, meaning that we can be saved from the wrath of God. Amen. We can be saved from hell. And we can be brought into Christ, who is the source of all life. To live, Paul said, is Christ. And to die is gain. He says to live is to abide in Him who is life. And for me to die is gain. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I know there's another whole teaching there about dying to ourselves. But tonight I want to talk about the fact that God has given us access to the throne of grace, where the river of His mercy, the river of His grace flows freely, and it seeks out the low places. A river flows through valleys. It seeks out low places where people are broken and humbled and realizing that I need help. I need grace. Oh yes, call it a crutch if you will, but I know that I need Jesus. I need the Lord in my life now. He is my life. I don't want the stuff. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Because one day, all of us in this room are going to stand before the Lord. There is coming a day in court. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Judgment day is coming. There's coming a day when we're going to have to stand before the Lord and give an account of our life to God. Now, what are we going to say in that day? Ezekiel sees this river flowing and everything came alive, wherever this river goes. And how many know that a river needs a riverbed? And that means you and I, amen, need to be a vessel that God will flow through. And Jesus said in John 7, verse 38, he said, what? To them that believe on me, as the scripture said, out of their belly will flow rivers of living water. He's talking about the river of God's presence will actually flow out of a human being who is in relationship with God. You see? And wherever that river flows, it is life-giving. Amen? Except to those who perish. Those who reject that, it will actually judge them. Even Jesus said to them that believed on him, you know, if you believe, you will enter into life, you know. But if you don't believe, you're condemned already because you have not believed in the only begotten Son, right? You have not believed in me. But he says, but if you believe, you will see the goodness of God. You'll see the glory of God. And the river it's talking about here in Ezekiel is an actual place on the earth. But Jesus is talking about you and I being a vessel that not only contains the life of God, but where the life of God flows out of and wherever this life goes. Amen. To where there is a riverbed that is humbled, yielded, open, and asking. Amen. That God will fill that place. If we're arrogant and we think I'm self-sufficient, I don't need God, I'm fine, thank you very much, that river will just bypass you. And whatever, you know, is not touched by the river will continue to live in death. Hear me. You can continue to live in death, or you can humble yourself and let God fill you with his life. You can come alive. So when we are overflowed, when we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, what are we talking about? We're talking about an overflow of the river of life flowing out of us. Remember the old song we used to sing? I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Open prison doors, sets the captive free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. In Ezekiel 47 and verse 9, you can look it up later. Ezekiel 47 verse 9, and it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. Oh, I love that. The river of God represents God's presence. The fish represent who? Humanity. And those fish that are in the river live. They come to life. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. The Holy Spirit, he quickens the dead soul. He makes us alive again. The Holy Spirit heals the sick. The Holy Spirit sets us apart. He sanctifies us. The Holy Spirit raises the dead. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it shall also quicken your mortal body by that same Spirit. You got to have the Holy Spirit, amen, in order to be with Jesus when you die. Galatians 6, verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, I want to talk about this now because it's very important that we understand how to receive from God. If you don't know how to receive from God, you won't. And I can tell you that there are people that come here every time, every week, and that they leave having not received from the Lord. Because you can sit at a dining table where a banquet is spread, and you can watch other people eat, but if you don't take advantage of what's being presented, you can just go hungry, you know? And you can watch, but God is actually inviting you and I to the table. He says, you don't have to just watch. I prepared this for you too. You know, take advantage. How do I receive from God? How do I get into the river of God? Ephesians tells us that we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. What? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The connection between singing and being filled with the Holy Spirit. When we're singing, what are we singing? We're singing about God and then we're singing to God. So we're aligning our conversation with what is true. God will inhabit any place where the truth is being spoken. The Holy Spirit always moves with the Word of God. He's not independent of the Word. So when the Word is being spoken, the Lord will come to confirm the Word that's being spoken by accompanying signs. When we have been ministered to by the Word and the Spirit, there will be a change that takes place in us, little by little. Amen? He's changing us through the renewing of our minds, restoration of the soul. So we need to know how to receive from God. We have to come, Psalms 100 tells us, come before His presence with singing. Enter His gates with, well, thanksgiving first, right? And His courts with praise. There's a connection between singing, thanksgiving, and praise, and God's presence. And God's presence is the river of life. Wherever He is, there is life. He is a life-giving Spirit, the Bible says. Christ is a life-giving Spirit. If you want life, you've got to go to Jesus, amen? And you've got to drink. If any man is thirsty, let him come to Me and drink. If anyone believes on Me, as the Scripture said, out of their heart or will flow what? Rivers of living water. You've got to drink in order to be an expression, amen, of that. Hallelujah. And how do we drink? Praise, thanksgiving, singing to the Lord, making melody in your heart to the Lord, aligning your praise, amen, with the truth. How God inhabits praise. Praise is toxic to the devil. The devil hates it. The devil doesn't want you to participate in it. The devil wants to clam you up. He doesn't want you opening your mouth for God, because God says, if you open your mouth, I will fill it. Huh, interesting. So I start out, and that's why sometimes I just say, just simply, if you don't know anything else to do or say, just start singing hallelujah. Just start saying hallelujah. Hallelujah is international. Did you know that? It's around the world. It means praise to the Lord. Amen. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Amen. International goes across international lines. There's one true God. Amen. And we sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujahs to Yahweh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know people take that and they abuse it and they use it in secular stuff. But, you know, it's just an expression of praise to God. So if you don't know anything else, start out by just singing hallelujah or saying hallelujah. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's do it again. Hallelujah. 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 Now do it to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 That feel good. Something's starting to bubble up inside you when you do that. Let's do it again. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. I'm getting happy now. Because the river of God, it begins to flow as we get into agreement with praise. He inhabits praise and it shifts the atmosphere internally. Because real life begins, amen, internally, not externally. The world is trying to mask and cover up and look pretty. But man, what's really going on the inside? That's the question. Jesus said, even of the religious leaders of His day, He says, outwardly you appear as righteous to men, but inwardly you're full of dead men's bones. You're like a whitewashed tomb. You look pretty on the outside, but inside, not too good. So we want to have Jesus on the inside, amen? And filling our lives so that we're overflowing in the grace of God and all that ugly stuff, amen? Just get squeezed out of us. And we'll be a pure vessel, yielded, amen, vessel that God will flow through. We'll be a riverbed that's prepped and prepared, amen, to be a vessel that God will just flow through. Prayer, thanksgiving, praise. These things are huge. They're important. Now, listen, folks, because I tell people this often. And sometimes people, they don't listen to me. But what I'm asking you to tonight is listen. Don't just listen to me, but listen to God. If what I'm telling you is what God is saying, then you need to start obeying His voice. You need to start listening to what God says. It may seem like an awkward thing that God asks you to do. But I've discovered something. I've got to get over myself in order to enter into that presence. To be immersed in the Spirit of God, I've got to get past my self-consciousness. And I've got to get conscious about Christ and pursue His heart, because He is the source of all life. In Him, all things are held together. So we've got to press into the heart of God, because He is the source of life. And I've got to get past myself to do that. I've got to get past the opinions of people and what people think and how are you going to look. Because when you're really tanked, you know, you've been out drinking, you know, you get to a certain place where you don't care what people think anymore. You know what I'm talking about? You're just inebriated. And so in the Holy Spirit, you know, there's a place where we can become so intoxicated in the love of God that it takes us to a higher plane where we're no longer full of ourselves, but we're full of Jesus. And where God is, there is no fear. Because perfect love casts out all fear. God is love. And so when I'm full of God or full of the Spirit of God, I don't have fear of the opinions of men, fear of failure, fear of death, fear of anything. Because when you are full of the Holy Spirit, you have a supernatural boldness. You have a supernatural confidence. You are not afraid of people. You can go into places where naturally you'd never go, but when the Spirit of God is moving in your life, you will find a confidence in God that will take you to a higher realm. How many know what I'm talking about? But we have to get over ourselves, and we have to disobey ourselves sometimes that says, I don't want to do that. I got to get over myself so that I can, amen, enter in to that place with Him. How many know that Peter had lost all consciousness of himself when he was called out onto the river, on the water with Jesus? Remember the storm, and Peter was the one that got out of the boat to meet Jesus on the water? He had to get over self-confidence, didn't he? All he could do is see Jesus on the water. He says, man, Jesus, hold up right there. I'm on my way. He got out of that boat. He wasn't thinking about himself. However, you know the story goes. All of a sudden, he starts looking around, and then he starts seeing, ooh, I can't do this. No, that's right. You can't, Peter. But it was by the grace of God you're able to walk on that water. You see, you got to get over yourself. You got to get past yourself. You got to be willing, even in public, to open your mouth and say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not afraid of man. Amen. If anything, I need to fear God. Because man, all he can do, Jesus said, all he can do is kill your body. That's it. But only God, amen, can kill your soul. He can kill your body and cast your soul into hell. He said, you better fear Him. Ooh. That's what Jesus said. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? What if you gain all the money and all the toys and all the stuff but lose your soul? Your soul is eternal. You and I are going to live somewhere forever. That's what the Word of God says. And I want to be right with God. I want to make sure my heart is right. And then I'm going to be able to stand in that day. Because I'm not standing in my own goodness, but I'm clothed in His righteousness. I've got the righteousness of Christ on me, amen? I'm filled with His goodness. It's not my goodness, His goodness. I'm not holy because I just act a certain way. I'm holy because He makes me holy. He changes me. You understand, religion says you've got to do all these steps and do all these things to hopefully earn enough credit with God so God will like you and God will let you go to heaven. That's a lie. It was God's idea to go to the cross. It was God's idea to search you and I out. He came seeking that which was lost. You and I, to seek and to save. That's why He came. Because He wants us to be with Him. He wants us to have a relationship. He wants us to be forgiven. And He wants us to share His kingdom. He wants us to enjoy what He has purchased for us with His blood. He died so that we could be with Him. That was the heart's desire of God. It's that we would be back with Him again. Hallelujah. Some say hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's good news. See, but gospel means good news. Yeah, God's come to ruin my party, ruin my... No, God came to give you life and life more abundantly. The devil lies to you and he offers you the cheap stuff and says, oh, this is superior. This is much better. It'll never satisfy. You'll never, ever be truly satisfied until you trust Christ and you give Him your life. That's what happened to me. And it was in my bedroom, believe it or not. It wasn't even in a church. God just rocked my world one night and I don't know. I just, there's nothing to go back to. I've tasted and I've seen that the Lord is truly good. It's not just a cliche. It's reality. Hallelujah. You would have never seen me preaching in a pulpit. That was the last thing in my mind. I'm telling you, this is a supernatural work of grace in my life that I'm even here today doing this. I'm telling you, Jesus is real. And He wants you to know Him. He wants to reveal Himself to you. He wants to show you the superior plan, the big picture, that here you only have a very short window of opportunity. But what you're doing now is going to count an eternity. And whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Those who sow to the Holy Spirit will of the Spirit reap life. Everlasting life. Amen. Those who sow to the flesh or the carnal or the sinful nature, of that nature they will reap corruption. So it's your choice. Shift masters. Start serving Him. Start obeying Him. Start walking with Him. Amen. Open up your heart and let Him in. Let Jesus come to dwell within your heart and your life. And let Him save you. Let Him change you. Let Him turn you around. Make you into a new person. When we sow in the Holy Spirit, when we pray, keep praying, keep believing, because God eventually releases what you have stored up in heaven, just like He did with Cornelius in Acts 10. Eventually, his giving and his prayers, they came up before the Lord as a memorial. God took note of it. He said, Cornelius, I got a special assignment for you. You're one of mine. I take note of faithfulness. God sees those who are faithful. He sees those who desire to do His will, you see. And if you're sowing in the Holy Spirit, and you keep sowing in the Holy Spirit, whether or not you see anything right now, you just keep on loving, keep on serving, keep on blessing. Amen? Keep on giving. Keep on doing whatever God is telling you to do. And the time comes, in due season, you shall reap. If you do not faint, if you don't quit, don't give up. Keep on praying. Keep on sowing. Keep on feeding, amen, your spirit, the Word of God. Discover the will of God. Discover the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The light comes on. The truth is the light. It comes on and you say, man, what was I thinking? Well, I wasn't. I thought I was. I thought I was so smart, you know. And those people, they don't know what they're talking about. Until God just one day, He just interrupts. Maybe you're being interrupted tonight. I don't know. But God interrupts and He says, what were you thinking? Let me tell you what is true. Do you want the truth? Jesus says, this is the condemnation. This is how people miss heaven and end up in hell. He says that light has come into the world. The truth had come into the world. But the world rejected the truth. He says, light has come into the world, but men love the darkness rather than the light. And they don't come into the light lest their deeds be exposed. See, darkness cannot hide from light. So if a person Even like myself before, I wanted to live in darkness. And when the light would start to come on, I would shy away. I would run and hide. I'd get away from it. Because I didn't want to come into the light. Because I was being exposed by the light. The hidden motives of my heart were being exposed. The things I was thinking were being exposed by the Spirit of God. So I wanted to run away. And Jesus said, this is what is condemning people, is that I've come that they might have life. I've come to present the truth to them so that they can know what's real. And once you know what's real, you'll know what's false. But because men rejected that truth, they don't come into that light, therefore they will go before judgment in that day, before the bar in heaven, with the accuser Satan there pointing his finger and say, they did this, they did that. The prosecuting attorney is Lucifer. He pretends that he's your friend, but he's actually your prosecutor. He's the one, the accuser of the brethren, who will he will accuse you before God. And if he has legal grounds, guess what? You're in trouble. Because God is just and he has no choice, because of his integrity, to condemn sin. No sin will be in his presence. But on the other side, we have Jesus Christ. The Bible says is our advocate, our defense attorney. Not only is he our attorney, he's our high priest. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our friend. He's the one that we can know now and be acquainted with now and walk with now and have confidence. And the day when we see him, he's not going to say, who are you? He's going to say, I know who you are. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I want to hear Jesus say, well done. And I want to hear Jesus said, Father, it's been covered. They have confessed it and they have renounced their ways. They have walked with me and my blood covers all their sin. And God will blot out every sin that you've ever committed. God will wash away all the ugliness, all the stuff that you regret, all the guilt and the shame of yesterday. God can cleanse that. God can remove that from your heart and put his Spirit in you and make you a new creation. And that's exactly what God did in my life. Is there a witness here tonight? Has God done that for you? Do you know that salvation? Do you know what it really is to be a child of God, to be born again? That's what God wants to do. God wants to save you. God wants you to be his. And God will meet you in the low place. The river of God will flow to the low place. The river of God will reach out and touch you and bring healing to you if you're willing to bow your soul, to humble your soul before God and be honest with God about the reality of your situation and be willing to renounce your ways and turn to Christ. Then the Lord will forgive you. He will blot out your sins. He will wipe the slate clean and he will put his Spirit in you and you become a son and a daughter. Hallelujah. That's good news. That's what God is offering you. Without cost, except that you give him your life. Give him your life. You want to live? You have to die to yourself. You have to be done with you. And I was in my bedroom that night. And God brought me to a place, and thankfully he did, where I was really desperate and crying out. And all the artificial security blankets, all the things that I trusted in, all the things that I hoped in were letting me down, were failing me. And I was empty inside. I was miserable. My family was falling apart. And God gave me a snapshot. God gave me a picture of my life and a microcosm where you just saw so much in such a short amount of time. I can't explain it except that for the first time, I began to realize I was the problem. Not everybody else. I was good at the blame game. It was their fault. It was her fault that I was miserable. No, I was the problem. I had to be honest. And God showed me that it was because of my actions that it was creating chaos all around me in other people's lives, how I was hurting other people. Whereas before, I didn't really even realize that. I didn't think it was true. And all I could do is just cry out, for the mercy, and I knew to call on Jesus. I knew that much. I said, Jesus, help me. I need help. Because Satan was also there. He wanted to take me. There was a battle going on. I had to make up my mind who I was going to serve. I couldn't serve the two anymore. I had to serve either Jesus or I might as well just go and do it all the way. If you're going to go to hell, you might as well go to hell in style, amen? But I don't recommend hell for anybody, amen? Because it's a horrible place. The Bible talks about it. Jesus spoke more about hell than he did heaven. And you don't want to go there. Jesus died to save you. He bled and suffered and died to save you from that place. And so I had a call on Jesus, and I said, Lord, I see, folks, I don't think I'm more special or any more important than anybody else. It's just the love of God in me that's pleading with you. Be reconciled to God. Get right with God, because time is short. Right now we have an opportunity. God is pouring out His Spirit right now in this moment. The river of God is here, and the river of God will flow to the low place if you're willing to humble yourself. Bow your soul before God and reconcile. Confess your sins and give Him your life. You may not ever hear this message again. This may be your only opportunity. I don't know that, but I do know that the Bible says that today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. But if you sense that the Lord is drawing you tonight, maybe you've really never known the life of Christ. You've never been born of His Spirit. You don't know that when you die, you're going to heaven. And this is for you. This is an opportunity for you to be saved. Or maybe you're here tonight and you've just kind of drifted away. Maybe there was a time when you did walk with God, but you've just drifted away from Him. And you want to get back into the river. You want to get back into life. You're tired of death. You're tired of emptiness. You're tired of just vain living. And you really want to start living again. You want to experience the superior reality of the presence of God in your life again. Well, God is calling you right now, right where you're at, just to turn your eyes upon Him. Turn your heart to Him right now. And right where you're at, you can start talking to Jesus. Just call out to Jesus. You sense the Lord drawing you. He said, you can't come to me unless you're being drawn. Are you being drawn tonight? Is God tugging on your heart? Do you really sense that this is something in you is burning right now? That's the Spirit of God. Do not resist the Spirit of God. Listen to His voice. Do what He's telling you. He's given you a chance. He's given you an opportunity. The day is coming when the door will be closed. And many, He said, will stand in that day and they'll knock and they'll say, Lord, open to us. In the days of Noah, they stood and they knocked on the ark. It was too late. God Himself had sealed the door. Judgment had been sealed. Time was up. The opportunity to be saved was over. Today, let me tell you, today is the day of salvation. I plead with you tonight. Be reconciled to God. Get your life right with God now while you still have opportunity. God is calling you, my friend. Will you say yes?